Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now.
Episode 16, Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. And boy, oh boy, am I giddy for this week's episode.
Buckle up.
Let me read the text you sent me last night.
At like 12:15 in the morning. I was tasked. We decided to do a style. We'll get into this in a second. We decided to do a style podcast. And I had to figure it out last night after I got off work. So I stopped at the ye olde bottle shop by my house and was chatting with barkeep and was like, what should we do? What should we do? We were talking about doing something kind of malty, but I didn't want to do German because we had done Oktoberfest already. And then, yeah.
This is the text I received at 12:11 a.m. Normally I am awake, but I had fallen asleep at this point.
I was wondering.
Buckle up, big boy. Tomorrow's going to be a wild ride. First of all, you are the first human on Earth to call me big boy.
I almost spelt it B-O-I, too, but I opted not to.
You could have said thick boy. T-H-I-C-C-B-O-I, if you wanted to be really hip-sounding.
Right.
That was the text I got, and I saw it in the morning and went, I don't know what that means, but I have an assumption that I know what it means. And I was correct in my assumption. So this is going to be another style podcast. This will be our fourth style podcast. We have done West Coast IPA. We have done Fresh Hop IPA. And we have done Oktoberfest. So for number four, our style, bourbon barrel aged stouts.
Yeah, I figured it was time to do something big.
This is everything to me. This is probably my favorite style of beer. If I see a bourbon barrel aged stout on the menu, I will definitely get it. If it's a new one if it's an old one, I'll get it. So I'm very excited to get to it. We've got one bottle that's already been opened. We've got little snifters here that are already full. We're letting it get the air in there. We're letting it age a little bit longer. Although Patrick already stole a sip, which I'm a little jealous of, and we will get to that. But first, thank you for listening. You can find us on radio.com, which is now fixed. You can find us on radio.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on 1080thefan.com. Please subscribe, rate, review, all of those things. We really appreciate all that. We've gotten some nice comments about it, so we appreciate you. And you can download all the podcasts that we've done from all of those places. They're all there available for listening, for download. And you can very easily find them there. All 15 of our prior episodes, including episode 14, OG Beers, got uploaded twice, even though I told it to cancel one of the uploads. So you can listen to that one twice if you want. So that's where you can find us. Also on social media, I'm at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. Patrick's at PDD085 on Instagram. And then that's where we tweet out the podcast every single Thursday at 4 o'clock. So that's number one. And then number two, we always like to do this at the start of the podcast, your week in beer. So I'll let you start. You had a bit more of an experience-filled week than I did. So my wife was literally working all weekend, so I was just kind of a vegetable. But you got to go to a Timbers game.
Yeah. My week in beer is pretty straightforward, but Sunday I was fortunate enough to go to the Timbers playoff game. And I had a funny situation. So we ended up getting there a lot earlier than we normally do. Like, a lot of time we get there kind of right at the national anthem and then kickoff. And so I basically have one beer during the first half and one beer during the second half and just kind of call it there. But we got there a little earlier, so I ended up having three beers. And they had Culminations Phaedrus on draft, which is a quick go-to for me. So that was easy. Makes that decision fine. I drank one. It was great. And then my buddy went to go grab me another one. And he came back and he handed it to me. And he has this, like, stank eye look on his face. And he's like, do you like this? And I was like, yeah, man, it's Phaedrus. I drink this beer all the time. And he was like, okay, dude, it tastes weird. And I was like, all right. So I grabbed it and I tasted it and I was like, oh God, what is this? There's no way I got a Phaedrus the second time.
So what did they?
They must have been pouring something else on draft that when someone said, is this a Culmination? Yeah, that's Culmination. And they just handed it to my buddy. It was not the Phaedrus. And it was so foul. Like, there was this weird, like, fruit infection thing going on in it that I couldn't understand. It was like a little oxidized and something was just not working in this IPA that I got like a third of the way through it and threw it away.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
That's
at
tough.
$10.50 a beer.
It's tough to waste a beer.
Well, I was just not going to do it. I was like, this is disgusting.
And it was from one of the like craft beer stands?
Mm-hmm. It was from Axe and Rose, yeah. Huh. Which they always have like volunteers. Like I think it was like the Canby Cougars like volleyball team and parents were there or something like that pouring beers and
high
stuff like that.
Serving beer?
No, but like their parents and coaches and things like that.
High schoolers serving beer.
And they'll see what beers are like popular, so they'll like pour a couple extras so that you're not waiting forever. And I think they just grabbed the wrong one. So whoever's other beer that was, I apologize, but it was god awful that I threw away two-thirds of a $10.50 beer because I said no. And then I went and ordered a culmination and I watched them pour it and I tasted it and it tasted like Phaedrus. So I don't know what happened.
They gave you the wrong one.
I know. And I know the other breweries that were on the list, and I'm not going to mention them for their sake.
Okay.
Because it was disgusting.
Well, maybe I can ask you a little bit later. So my weekend beer, it wasn't crazy. Like I said, my wife worked literally all weekend. She was at the office for 12 hours both Saturday and Sunday. And I went and visited her one day, and we went out to get a quick bite. But generally, I was a vegetable. I just sat on the couch at home and watched a lot of sports. I watched a lot of college football, watched the Timbers, watched the NFL, watched the Blazers. I did not leave the couch all weekend. But what I did do is I went grocery shopping because I'm a responsible adult. And when I went and I was looking for my beer to have on Sunday, I like to have a couple of unique beers when I'm watching the NFL on Sunday.
It's the Lord's Day.
And I decided for the first time to try Modern Times.
The Californians.
Who also have one here in Portland now. I've seen Modern Times everywhere. I've heard you mention them before. Mm-hmm. They're talked about in beer circles a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never tried any of their beers. So I got two cans. I got the Black House Stout and the Blazing World Amber. And I was a big fan of both of them. I really was. I know they make a lot of hazies, and I'm not a big hazy guy, so I avoided them. There were a lot of cans for sale, and I picked those two for obvious reasons. I like malt-driven beers more. And I was a big fan of the stout and really liked the amber, too. The amber was unique to me. It wasn't just your average amber. I enjoyed it.
I've been a fan of Modern Times. I remember when they moved in, especially because they took over at the Common Spot, which was such a great brewery and near dear to a lot of us nerds' hearts. Everybody was like, oh, man, these Californians ruining it for the rest of us. They make good beer. They make really good beer. And you did mention, yeah, they make a lot of hazies when it comes to the IPAs. But I've had some that are kind of not quite full-on hazies, like as I like to reference, like the Block 15 style of haze, just more of an unfiltered. I've had some of those, and they're really good. And I know people that really enjoy hazies are for the most part, usually very happy with Modern Times.
So that was my weekend in beer. It wasn't overly exciting, just a small little new experience that I had while watching some football.
You should go to Modern Times. They have a giant Randy Savage pinata in the tasting room.
We should go to Modern Times.
Sure.
Part of the podcast. Why not?
Sure.
There's tons of places to go.
Tons of places to go.
we're gonna have a lot of episodes coming up. We got a lot of content to provide. Tons of places we could go in and grab a beer. All right. So bourbon barrel aged stouts. The topic of the podcast today, the style of the podcast today. And this is so up my alley, it's not even funny. I already mentioned it. This is my go-to beer if I go to any place. I love it. There's something about this beer. So I've always liked dark beers. I've always trended towards dark beers. We talked about that ad nauseum earlier in the podcast's early episodes. The type of beer I like to drink and why I like to drink it. But when I was first introduced to bourbon barrel-aged stouts, which was a decent time later after I learned of like Samuel Smith's and that kind of stuff, was eye-opening for me. Because not only was it the malty, roasty flavor that I liked, but it gave me that sweet little extra bit from the bourbon. And I happen to like bourbon too, so it helps. But it gives you that extra flavor profile of sweet that isn't always in stouts. And that combination together, to me, it was like peanut butter and chocolate. The first time I tried that, it was like, oh my God. That's the same kind of experience I had having a bourbon barrel aged stout was, oh my God, this goes so well together. Please inject this into my veins. Well, don't do that. I'll die. But please never stop giving this to me.
Well, when I was trying to think of what we should do today, and I wanted to get into something complex. and not just like a simple style. You know, I was thinking, I didn't want to do a German, as I said earlier, I didn't want to do a German style because we had done Oktoberfest, but I'm trying to think of something malt driven. I wanted to do an Irish stout for a minute, and then I couldn't really find some examples that weren't just Guinness in the stores, you know? So then this kind of popped up to me, but the reason I chose the bourbon barrel imperial stout route was instead of doing like barrel-aged sours, I thought that was a little too far off the deep end in terms of complexity, because I'm going to use one of our favorite words. This is one of the more approachable, complex styles, and I think that
is... Do you really think so?
I do think so, yeah. In terms of like barrel aging?
Because that might be true, because I have a lot of people who I'm like, oh, you'll like this, and they're like, this tastes good, but I can have only two sips.
Right, but I mean, I think for long conditioning, again, to say barrel-aged beers, I mean, I think stouts, which is probably why we see the most of them, are probably the most approachable drinking, which is why I kind of went this route. Instead of getting too crazy,
So you're saying the stout is the approachable one, mm-hmm. or the bourbon barrel-aged stout is the approachable one?
I'm saying in terms of like barrel-aging, bourbon barrel stout is probably the most approachable.
Okay. I guess I could see that, because I've had other barrel-aged beers, and yeah, they are... Whew.
Yeah.
Insane, yeah, so, flavor wise.
Yeah, like if we're doing like I didn't want to do like a barrel aged barley wine. Like, A, I don't like barley wines and I don't want to vomit before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I went with this.
Well, at some point we're gonna have to do barley wines.
Oof. Whoa, God.
And we're gonna have to pick a time to record that is not in the afternoon.
God.
We're gonna need to be able to sit on the couch afterwards and just watch Star Wars or something.
Ooh, I could do that, I guess.
I know. Let's make it better for you.
All right.
So that you want to do that. We'll do that at some point too. But that is interesting that you say it's more approachable. So the thing with bourbon barrel aged stouts to me is you're right, they're very complex. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of beers on this podcast so far that when I take a sip, I say, oh, I can taste this flavor. Oh, the back end's this, but it's smooth in the middle. And there's not, to me, the smooth is not necessarily flavor. It's just, it goes down easy. When you drink a bourbon barrel aged stout, it's, oh, there's a flavor. Oh, there's a flavor. Oh, 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 oh. And you just keep like, it's an adventure the entire sip. And every sip is different too. It's not going to be the same every single time.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons I love them so much, is because it's not easy drinking. I want to enjoy the flavor every time I take the sip and notice something different. And that's what I like about this style of beer a lot.
I also think I think temperature is a big deal with this style. I did bring this in cold. As we continue to do this podcast, because it's not a beer that I'm going to like slam like an IPA or something, we will start to see it warm up a little bit and a lot more kind of flavors will come out from it. I suppose I have not mentioned the beer we're actually drinking right now.
Yeah.
So that would be nice.
That's important.
One of my favorite beers that this brewery makes, and when I think of bourbon barrel aged beers, these guys are near the top of the list for me. We're drinking just the regular barrel aged Dark Star from Fremont, the 2018 version that kind of just hit the shelves. This is the Spice Wars edition. So this guy right here has a bunch of, let's see, cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, ginger, vanilla, and clove. I like this because it's just a little different than all the other ones you normally get. They do a coffee edition and a regular edition, but I kind of felt the Spice Wars was going to be fun.
And this is oatmeal stout.
Mm-hmm.
It says here on the side, Imperial Oatmeal Stout with spices. That's interesting. I hadn't read the label yet when we started, because I've now taken two sips because I'm also a cheater. But when you say spices, that was part of the reason when I first took the sip, I was like, whoa. Because I know what to expect with a bourbon barrel aged stout,
mm-hmm.
and it still took me off guard.
Yeah,
that it went even deeper into the flavor. It doesn't hide the chocolate notes. It doesn't hide the oatmeal kind of consistency. It just elevates them, and it's almost like cooking, right? You got to season your food. It elevates the food. You can still eat it unseasoned. It just won't taste as good. I kind of feel like that's what the spices are doing to this beer right now.
Yeah, I think Fremont does some of the best barrel aged stuff around. Dark Star, B-Bomb, there's another one they do. Rusty Nail, I think, is another series they do.
I think I've had that one.
And I just think they do all-around great stuff. And what kind of drew me to this was I remember buying one of these last year and putting it in my cellar to kind of age, to put some age on it. And then I was like, oh yeah, I got a 2017, so I should probably buy a 2018 to add to the collection. So when I grabbed a 2018, I put it on the shelf. I was like, what's up? Do I have two 17s? And I pulled it aside, and I have a 2016 as well. So I'm really excited right now. I have a 2016, 17, and 18 of Spice Wars. I will most likely get a 19 and a 20, and then I'll have a five-year vertical, and that will be crazy.
How do you, side question, not related to the podcast, although maybe it is, how do you drink when you collect them? When do you decide now it's time to drink it?
Sometimes it's a shot in the dark. I think you got to understand kind of what you're working with. You know, like things like sours, if you age them too long, if they're fruit forward, the fruit will eventually kind of fall off, but the funk will get a little bigger and badder because of just the continual yeast eating at the beer. But I think with the barrel age stuff, I think you got to worry about a little bit about oxidization, just because there is some room for oxygen in the bottle. It's kind of just, it can be a shoot in the dark. I think it can be an educated shot in the dark. I'm really interested to see in 2 years where the spices are in the 2016, because that's probably what might fall off. But sometimes the vanilla becomes like more pungent through everything, like the cinnamon and the cloves will fall off, and the vanilla just keeps riding high and gets real big. So it's kind of a shot. And when you do a 5 year vertical, you got to kind of be okay with maybe one of these beers is not very good.
Well, okay. So again, for the novice, I don't know this. I'm not asking this just for the benefit of you, the listener. What do you mean when you say 5 year vertical? Does that mean that you drink them all?
Yeah, we'll take all five of them and crack them all open and then try taste them each one and compare them to each other.
Because that's kind of what I was asking is, so you got 16. Mm-hmm. Why are you waiting until you get 2020?
Just because five is a...
Right.
Is a round number.
So you're going to get smashed that day.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be just me. That would be a pretty sad day.
Sad?
So I'll get some people together. What gave me the idea was, I mean, it didn't give me the idea, but I think this is the beer that I wanted to do it with because I really enjoy this beer. The spices are really cool, and I'm a big Grateful Dead fan, and it's called Dark Star, so that always speaks to me. And, I saw once Belmont Station was giving away, like you signed up for something or you bought tickets into a raffle and they were giving away 10-year Abyss vertical from Deschutes.
Whoa.
Where they had a bottle from every year for 10 years.
Oh my God.
Of that. And I was just like, you would die. How do you do that?
That would be so good.
Yeah. And then
I love Abyss.
Yeah. And then I thought, oh, you know, maybe I'll do something like that. And I chose this guy.
So let's get into the style a little bit, and this is going to be kind of where I'm going to let Patrick shine on the podcast because he'll know more about this than me, obviously. But what does it take to make a bourbon barrel aged stout? What are the processes? What is the time it takes? How expensive is it? How reasonable is it to make a bourbon barrel aged stout on a regular basis, or should it be seasonal? Why are some of them seasonal, but some of them last the entire time? What's the whole process that goes into the bourbon barrel age? And I can pepper in questions as they go, but just kind of, I'll open the floor to you because I don't know anything about it and I freaking love the style.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of factors that are going to be involved in this. You know, A, how great is your base beer? That's kind of where you're going to start. And B, where are you getting your bourbon barrels? I think those are probably your two biggest questions you got to ask when you start. But also the number one thing you have to know when you get into this is you are not going to see a return on this for at least a year. Most bourbon barrel aged beers are aged for about 12 months minimum, I would say. You can do some blending techniques and I'll get into that later, but I would say the majority of stuff is being aged for 12 months. And so that means you're making a beer, you're buying barrels, you are putting beer into barrels, and then those barrels are sitting for a year and you're making no money off it. So that includes the money it takes to make the beer, the cost of the barrel, and the cost of like rent, basically, where this barrel is being stored.
And so, I imagine that it's more expensive at the base level to make a beer like this than to make your everyday IPA.
Right, right. Which is why when you see new breweries open up, new breweries tend to not get into bourbon barrel age till at least a year or two in, just because you got to make some sort of profit before you start you know, liquidating your assets. So basically how you kind of start is you make, you know, let's take Fremont, for example. They're making this Imperial oatmeal stout, and they're adding these spices. And they put it in, they brew it, it's in the fermenter. Before you put it in the bright to carb it, you're going to drop it into these bourbon barrels. Depends on how big a batch you want to do. If you want to do 30 barrels, you're going to have about literally 30 barrels to put beer in. And then you can let it sit. And then after a while, you'll go back through and people will taste each barrel and kind of say, you know, how does this barrel taste? How does that barrel taste? Do we want to blend? Do we think it's good on its own? And again, we'll get to blending later. And then you'll pull them from the barrels, put them into a bright tank where they will clear up, naturally carbonate, and then you can either package, keg off, whatever you want to do. So that's kind of your process. It to be honest with you, is pretty simple. Like, it's not that hard.
Well, it sounds similar to making a regular beer with the added step of putting it into barrels for a year.
Yeah, yep. And you got barrels, and you got the equipment, and you put in the barrel, and sure, there's a little extra work, but it's not that much more difficult.
Do breweries, or maybe it's not a constant, but do some breweries reuse the barrels afterwards, or is it a one barrel use and it's done?
Excellent question, Mike. Most bourbon barrels are one-time use. Because the oak is charred inside and it does have that bourbon that has been soaked into the wood for the length that this beer is going to sit into it, and just kind of the way the beer will adapt to the barrel, it's going to pull all those flavors out of it. So to do it in a second gen, second use, you're not going to get as much out of it as you want.
So what happens to the barrels afterwards then? If they're not usable?
People sell them, get rid of them. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. Another welcome to the expense of this.
Right, you're kind of just trashing them?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah, I know a lot of breweries will sell them, or you can repurpose them. You can make them into, you know, tables or Adirondack chairs or stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, you're really a one-time use. The really only times you get multiple uses is if you're using, like, neutral oak for, like, sours. Sometimes you can reuse those.
Where is the biggest issue or concern in that process? Like, where in that process to finishing this type of a beer do the most errors occur, or is it most open to making a mistake? Is it in the barrels? Is it the transition from the barrel to the bright tank? Or
I would say the biggest place you can, the biggest things you can lose on this is A, if your base beer isn't very good. If your base beer is not very good, we're in trouble from the start. Number two, it's also kind of how you are going to store these, especially if you have a barrel project. Your storage is a real thing. These things attract fruit flies, so you have to keep that in mind, which is, you can't really stop that. You're going to have to deal with that.
I have now been into a couple of barrel rooms after starting this podcast. Fruit flies everywhere.
Yeah, you just get used to them. And if you think you hate them now, trust me, you can hate them more. And then so where you store them is a big deal, just in terms of like temperature, and you know, you want to try and control the environment the best you can. Also, you want to keep these barrels away from anything that has any sort of closeness to any wild yeast strains. Because what's interesting about the barrels, when it comes to like yeast strains, is like those wild yeast strains, like Brettanomyces, used in like sours and funky stuff, they will literally seep out of the barrel, jump to another barrel, seep in, and inoculate the beer. And if you do that on one of these beers, you're in big trouble. You'll dump it. It'll be terrible. And that's a lot of money to dump down the drain. And I think your last part is, when you're taking it out, is your final product. Do you want to blend? Are you using different bourbon barrels? Are some of them aging longer than others? And that's where you can get into a little bit of a pickle. If you look at this on the side, to use Dark Star for an example, I was reading this last night and I thought it was really cool. It says, this year's release is a blend of 24, 18, 12, and 8-month bourbon barrel aged Dark Star in 7 to 12-year-old Kentucky bourbon barrels. So what these guys are doing with this beer, not everybody's doing this, but what these guys are doing with this beer is they have made this, they're using 2-year-old Dark Star, year and a half old Dark Star, a year old Dark Star, an 8-month old Dark Star, and taking samples from each barrel and tasting, okay, what do we like from this one? What do we like from that one? Say, okay, so this 24, let's use, if we're going to do a 30 barrel batch, let's use 6 barrels from this 24, from this 2-year old batch. Let's use 15 from this year-old batch. Let's throw in another 6 from the 18-month. And that's where you get your blending techniques and to kind of pull together everything you
want.
Well,
so that's interesting. I had no clue that you blended the different types to create this type of a beer.
Mm-hmm. You can. You don't have to. You can.
Right. But that's got to be really difficult, too. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that when you get to that point, it's hard to make this kind of a beer taste bad or wrong. But to make it taste top-of-the-line elite is to get it perfectly mixed from all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm imagining that a two-year-aged stout that's sitting in an older bourbon barrel is going to taste wildly different than the one-and-a-half-year-aged stout sitting in a five-year bourbon barrel or something like that.
100%.
And... but not in a bad way, but like one might have more notes of chocolate, or one might have more notes of the bourbon, or one might have more of the spices in the case of this beer. That would be really fun, but also really terrifying, like to, if you're deciding how to mix those beers, not to mess it up at that point, because you're basically done.
Yeah, yeah. I think
and you waited a year plus to just decide what to mix them.
And these guys have had such success with their barrel program that they're kind of able to do that. I would say there aren't many breweries, especially on the West Coast, that are able to do this kind of stuff. I would say most people are, they've crafted their recipe. They're putting it in, you know, 70 barrels of the same beer in the same bourbon barrels, and then kind of putting it all back together.
And it's all aged 1 year.
All
whatever.
Aged 1 year. Yep, that's the kind of the standard across the board. Not as many people are blending, but I wanted to kind of.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Why I picked this beer, because I knew it was like a really complex bourbon barrel.
Do you know
beer.
Off the top of your head some other ones that are like this, where they blend and they do kind of crazy things?
Off the top of my head, right now, not really. I mean, I imagine B-Bomb is blended, but that comes from the same guys. Nah, not off the top of my head.
Okay. I was just curious.
I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure I'll think of one, you know, 10 minutes after this podcast.
I drink a ton of these, obviously, and it'd be cool to know beyond just like trying to guess based on the flavors what has been mixed or what is just the stable recipe. Yeah. The other question I had based on these is why is it every year they re-release the beer and it's different? What about what they're doing in the year in and year out process changes the flavor just a little bit so that they re-release it? Because sometimes you'll see breweries, they'll just have a bourbon barrel aged stout.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a year. It's not dated. It's just here is our bourbon barrel aged stout.
Right.
But you mentioned Abyss, right? They and Black Butte 25. They release both of those, or 20, whatever the number is now. They release those every year at Deschutes at a certain time, and then they end it and they go to the next year. You're talking Fremont here does the same thing. You have a 2016 at home, 2017 at home. This is 2018. Why do that versus just continuously make it and just have it so that you're always having a fresh batch ready?
Well, I think there's two things.
One, I guess marketing would be an easy answer.
Yeah, three. We'll say marketing, leave it at that. Two, I would say that there is part of the aging process to see how this beer is going to evolve, how this beer is going to taste, you know, 2-5 years down the line. And then the number three is kind of, you know, remember this is, even though this is complex and this is barrel aged, it's still beer in the sense of, you know, Conrad at Culmination is still tweaking Phaedrus to get it exactly where he wants it. So then Fremont's going to look at this and say, okay, here's what we liked about 17. What did we not like about 17? Okay, let's keep doctoring it. And so I think that's why it's worth putting out different years worth. And also, you don't need a year-round bourbon barrel-aged stout. Make different ones. I think that's the route to go. Yeah. Well, no, I'm
sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that. Because, I mean, like, it's not... Fremont doesn't need Dark Star on all year round. Put Dark Star on for 3 months... and then put B-Bomb on for 3 months, and then put Rusty Nail on for 3 months, and like have the changes, the different styles in these bourbon barrel age that you want to do to continue to play with it. Plus, you just can't afford to make huge batches of this. Only Goose Island can in Bourbon County, and, you know, we all know about them.
Yeah, that's easy. Maybe I actually never been to Fremont before. Maybe I should go if they're going to be bourbon barrel aged stout kings over here.
Yeah. Fremont's awesome.
I have not been there before.
IPAs and bourbon barrel aged beer.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Anything else I didn't mention that you wanted to bring up about this? I had on my notes aging, which we talked a little bit about in terms of the consumer aging the beer themselves. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
I think that's kind of it. Yeah, check out these guys. I mean, the Dark Stars just kind of hit the market, so you'll be able to find them really kind of at your favorite bottle shops. You know, there's Spice Wars, there's Coffee Edition, and then there's just the regular. I have a 2017 regular at home that I might have to buy a 2018 regular just to keep that bad boy going, too.
You're going to do a couple of, what did you call them? Five
verticals.
Five-year
verticals.
Five-year verticals.
Yeah.
Oof.
Which is funny because this isn't even really my style.
I know.
I think I'm
anytime I bring this style up, you're like, oh God.
I know. I don't even know. To be honest, I don't even know if I like Dark Star. I just like the Dead. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll collect Dark Stars.
You like Dark Star.
Yeah, it is good.
It's good.
I dig it. You want to talk about this beer at all?
We can if you'd like.
Like what you're tasting? Yeah, why not? We're here.
I didn't consider it because I was like, oh, Beer of the Week's coming up and it's different. But no, let's talk about this a little bit. So yeah, I was talking about it a little bit in the beginning. The spices, because I hadn't read the label, the spices are exactly what made the beer more complex and changed the flavor to me. Because on the nose, immediately, I get a lot of chocolate, almost right away, and a little bit of like the bourbon sweetness in it. And then as you take a sip, which I will after I finish talking, because you can't do both, and it hits you with the early bourbon flavors. And then as you're getting towards the back end, it's like, ooh, that's an interesting spice. And it kind of kicks up. It reminds me of like Mexican chocolate.
Yeah,
it's sweet and it's sugary. And then ooh, that's good. Ooh, piece of candy.
Yeah, when I drink it, I get the cinnamon, the allspice, and the vanilla. That's what I'm getting, a lot of those kind of blended together. I think the back end leaves me with a lot of allspice. But what I really love when they do these beers is people almost always add a little bit of vanilla anyway, because vanilla smoothens things out.
Yeah.
But vanilla is so, for me as a flavor profile, vanilla is such a tricky, dangerous.
It overpowers things.
Yep. Because if you put too much in, it's just way overboard. And if you don't put enough in, you don't really taste it. On this, it says down to the dirty. Down and dirty. Two-row pale, roast barley, crystal 60, chocolate, and Carafa 2 malts with flaked oats and Willamette, Columbus, and Cascade hops with cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, ginger, vanilla, and clove, and yeast, and water.
I think I get the allspice in the beginning and the clove at the end.
Oh, the clove is what leaves you?
I think I get a little clove at the end.
The allspice to me is really big in this.
Yeah, it really kind of stands out. I don't taste a lot of the cinnamon.
Mm-mm.
I almost feel like the allspice kind of overtakes the cinnamon a little bit. I'm not getting a lot of the ginger either. Yeah, you're right. It's the allspice. It really kind of stands out. And then I get a little clove at the end.
But let's not forget, like,
but very chocolatey. I like the chocolate.
Definitely.
Nose on
very,
it.
Very chocolatey. Let's not forget that things like, so just because, you know, the allspice is what's kind of standing out to us, it is a little peppery. Like, there is a little kind of like hot peppery. Maybe that's you when you were talking about Mexican coffee or Mexican chocolate.
Yeah.
That can be probably coming from the ginger.
Could be.
I'm not actually like tasting ginger, but that's where I'm getting that prickly.
A little spice, yeah.
I think these
and
guys
by spice, I mean spicy spice, not
fire spice.
Literal spice, yeah.
So that could be just part of the technique of using the different spices to just what's going to accentuate here. It doesn't need to necessarily taste like vanilla, but we want it smooth. Dab, dab, dab.
Yeah, so there it is. That is Fremont Brewing. It is the Dark Star Imperial Oatmeal Stout with spices aged in bourbon barrels, 2018 limited release.
Also known as Spice Wars.
Because beer matters, it says.
Yeah, they're in Seattle. Awesome brewery. Highly recommended.
So there you go. That is our bourbon barrel aged stout episode. If you do not like bourbon barrel aged stouts, please give them a try. They are fascinating to drink. Obviously you can expect to get a little sugared out. It's very rich. It's very intense. So don't go too big too soon, but just give them a try because they're fun and they're different. They're different from what you normally drink. And on the flip side to me, that's why I've really enjoyed, since we started this podcast, going after more IPAs and Pilsners and stuff like that, because it's just different from what I normally drink. And Patrick would be proud, and maybe you guys would be proud too. I have multiple times now gone out to a restaurant and had dark beer options and have chosen a light beer. A Pilsner or a Kolsch or something, just because I'm like, that's good and I like it, and I don't need to go to the same thing every single time just because I know I like that.
Yeah, I had a smoked Hellas the other day. That was excellent. I loved life.
Smoked.
It's not that smoky.
Smoked beers have been tough for me.
It's not that smoky.
All right, coming up next, it is time for Beer of the Week. It is yet another dark beer, but it is one that neither of us have tried. It is based off of a recommendation. And that's next here on Beers on Us with Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. Beer of the Week time here on Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. And once again, I have chosen a beer that neither of us have tried before. However, this was a recommendation from last week. We were sitting. We went, after we went to Barelick, Eldon came along with us and we went to the tap room for Breakside because you had a bunch of beers on tap down there we wanted to try.
In Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. And we stopped at Ruse, which was a big mistake.
No, it was a great mistake.
It was a great mistake, but it was a mistake because I was...
Yeah, I was in bed like an hour after I got home.
I passed out and then had the worst hangover of my life on Monday.
Yeah, Monday was a little rough from that Sunday, so that was really fun.
I digress. But yeah, there were a lot of beers consumed. Anyway, we were quite already drunk at Breakside, and Eldon from Barelick said, if you like porters... And you've been to John's Marketplace, because he was the one who opened up the tap room at John's Marketplace, he told us. Go into the second to last aisle, into the back left corner, and find the area labeled Poland. And you will find the Black Boss Porter. And it will change the way that you look at porters as a beer. And I went, done and done. And it was my week this week to pick beer of the week. I went to John's Marketplace. I went to the second to last row, went to the way back left corner where it said Poland. There were two beers.
Well, why they got to be in the way back left corner?
Because that's where it was.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
No love for Poland, I guess.
I guess not. Because you go to the second to last row and it's all like Germany, Germany, Germany. And then it starts changing countries towards the end. And you randomly get Poland. It also could be alphabetical order.
They got like Latvian beers there.
They had Kenyan beers.
Ooh.
There's a lot of beer. If you've not been into John's Marketplace recently... a lot of beers, and they label it well, so you know, like, oh, I'd like to try something from Colorado. There's a whole shelf of Colorado beers.
Cool,
it's
baby.
It's cool. It's fun. So I went and found this, the Black Boss Baltic Porter, and I don't know very much about it. It looks like the brewery is Browar Witnica S.A. And, yeah, product of Poland.
Since 1848.
Black Boss Porter, original Baltic Porter, brewed and bottled by Browar Witnica S.A. since 1848.
Oh, great. It's only 9.4%. Awesome. That's better than the Fremont beer we've been drinking. That was like, I don't even know if it says on here what it's supposed to. 13.6. All right. Cool.
Nice. Don't worry about what time it is, people. You're hearing this whenever you're hearing it. We're fine.
I got a lot of session IPAs on the mind for the rest of the day.
So... what do you think? You said you were looking for this week, too, after Eldon mentioned it?
Well, yeah. Well, no, I had forgotten that Eldon mentioned it, but when we were thinking about doing styles and you were saying something malty, I was trying to think. I was talking with my buddy Todd, and I was like, hey, I need a suggestion on what we should do. And he was like, oh, well, you could do, because I didn't want to do German, as I've said, I think, for the third time now. He was like, oh, you should get some Black Boss. It's a porter from Poland, and it'd be right up Mike's alley. And I was like, oh, do you guys have any here? And he was like, no, but you could probably go here, here, here. And then we started talking about Dark Star, and I was like, all right, we'll just do Dark Star. So I'm glad you grabbed this. I think it pairs, quote unquote, well with kind of the theme of today's podcast.
Well, that's not always what we try to do. We try to switch it up just to make it a little different, so it's different for everybody. But
we'll find these beers are very different.
I also didn't know we were doing bourbon barrel aged stouts, so I picked this with the idea of...
I didn't either until 12:11 last night. This morning, I guess, technically.
Big boy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's actually kind of a cool bottle. It's just, it looks like a classic... This is going to sound strange, but like a Caribbean style where the big letters and it's just simple and there's not a lot going on, but you know that there's beer in there.
Yes.
And that
there's a lot of beer in here.
There is. It's almost filled at the top.
It is a 500 milliliter, which is, you know, probably the best route to go. Those Europeans and their dang metric system. How dare they use something everyone else in the world uses but us?
Hey. I don't know anything about the metric system, so I will yell at them about it anyway.
You don't know anything about the metric system? It's like even numbers. It like makes things like, I don't know, math.
I don't know anything about our system either, so let's not pretend. No. So you got the bottle opener. Let's pop it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess we'll do this.
We gotta drink the beer.
I suppose, but I don't want to. I'm scared.
There you go.
For you.
Thank you. I'm very excited about this because Eldon said this will change the way you look at porters. And I've had Baltic porters before, but funny enough, I've never had a Baltic porter from the Baltic region. So is it going to be different? Is it going to be different? Well, no. I mean, how many Baltic porters
they made it?
Have you had from America? Murica.
I've had a few. I've had some barrel-aged Baltic porters. Yeah, I get Baltic porters from time to time. But yeah, I mean, I just don't drink a lot of imports, to be honest.
Well, this is pitch black.
Pitch black.
Like I'm looking, putting it up to a light. I cannot see the light through it. So we are pitch black.
But this is fun. I'm excited to drink a Baltic porter from the Baltic region. You know, it's like drinking a West Coast IPA from New York. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But I guess they can still make it.
Smelling it right off the top, very, very sweet smelling.
Yeah.
And sometimes sometimes with porters, you get kind of the same roasty, chocolatey notes, mm-hmm. but this one just smells kind of sweet. Has a good head to it.
Well, I'm excited. I haven't tasted it yet, but what I do like about kind of porters in general is porters kind of like toe this line between an ale and a lager. You know, I think that's why a lot of people like porters a little more than stouts, because the bodies can be a little less, kind of steering more towards lager. I do believe they are an ale yeast, though.
This is...
Excuse my ignorance if they're not.
This is very, very unique.
Yeah?
And Eldon was right. I have never tasted a porter like this before. It goes... And this is going to sound strange. Ooh, Patrick just popped up with excitement. It sounds strange, but it's not a flavor profile thing. It's almost as if the beer switches styles mid-sip. It kind of starts off light and sweet and then gets dark and chocolatey at the end. And it kind of, it's almost like you start off drinking like an easy drinking session beer, and then it's like, pow!
Bam!
Baltic Porter at the end.
Yeah, it's extremely drinkable. That's kind of why it popped up, is because I think maybe going from... You know, the barrel-aged stout to this porter is a little more drastic than a common thought might be.
It is quite drastic, yeah.
But
it has, the back end of the taste does remind me a little bit of the bourbon barrel-aged stout. There's like a tiny bit of a sweetness as if it was in a barrel at the very end, even though it wasn't.
Yeah, there's, this beer is scary drinkable for 9.6. You know what I mean?
Scary?
Yeah.
Excitingly drinkable.
Because you can take big sips of this, you know? Like, when beers reach this level for me, I'm a sippy sip kind of guy. But this, I just threw a whole mouthful in and went for it, baby.
And you're about to do it again.
Yeah, I'm about to do it again.
Don't stop. I'm having a really hard time discerning the flavors because they're so different. And because a couple of weeks ago, we had Black Butte Porter again as part of the OG Beer podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. I understand the flavors in that beer because I've had that beer 100 times before or more. This one, I've never had a porter so sweet, but also roasty, but also sessionable, but dark and chocolatey. And it's kind of confusing my brain to try to figure out where the flavors are, because the flavor that's sticking to me on the back end of my palate is sweet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever had a porter that's done that to me before. Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at some stuff.
Seeing what people are saying about it.
Yeah, it does say suggested glassware is a pint glass. That's wild to me because it's so big. But hey, I'm cool with that.
It's a 9.9, you said?
9.6.
That's
where
the...
Where did you go?
This is... Well, hey, if anybody out there has had it, and you know the flavors that you've tasted in it, feel free to let us know on social media. At MikeLynch27 on Twitter, and Patrick's at PZD085 on Instagram. But I'm having a tough time with my palate on this one. And maybe I'm leaning on you, because you have a more experienced palate than me. But... I just keep coming back to kind of caramelly,
mm-hmm.
or toffee-y. Is that a word?
Toffee-y?
Yeah. It kind of had a little
notes
toffee.
Notes of toffee.
Notes of toffee. I'm kind of getting that now if I'm really trying to focus on the flavors. Caramel toffee at the end. Sweet smelling beginning. Easy drinking beginning, where you just kind of get a little bit of a roasty drink, I suppose, into caramelly and notes of toffee.
I think the biggest thing that stands out to me in this beer is the body. I find the body really light, but rich. I don't know if that makes sense. So it's like full flavored, but it
goes down easy.
It goes down easy, yeah. I think
That's a good way to put it, because I just took another sip. You're right.
I'm kind of struggling with how I feel.
It is rich, but we talked about it. It's dangerously drinkable. Mm-hmm. So it's light and it's easy, and you take the first sip and you're like, oh, cool. It's not like the bourbon barrel aged stouts where you're like, ooh, look at all this flavor. It's punching me in the face. It's like, hey, this is drinkable. And then at the end of the sip, you're like, wow, there's the flavor. There it is.
Yeah, I think I like this beer.
You think you like it?
I think I like this beer. I'm scared of this beer, but I think I like this beer.
What flavors are you getting, man? Give me some flavors on your palate.
Yeah, I get the roastiness for sure. I'm getting a little caramel flavor to it. That's probably where I'm getting the sweetness from. Definitely malt driven. Not very hoppy by any means. I'm getting no like spice from hops or anything like that.
It's kind of syrupy.
Yeah, it's a little syrupy, but that's kind of what's so interesting about this beer is that there's a syrupy flavor to it, but it doesn't like bleed into the body.
No.
Because I think a lot of times, you know, the syrupy flavor is a testament to the body being full. And this isn't. This is nice.
Is this the first time we've been floored in a way that we can't fully explain what we're drinking?
Yeah, kind of.
It's tough.
It could be because of the Dark Star that we had before this. But yeah, I mean, this is good. I love the lacing on it. I mean, the lacing is thick and frothy. That's always kind of nice when you have these darker beers, like when the head can be a little thicker, a little richer. So that's nice.
Well, hey, if you want to go out there and try it and help us out with some of the stuff that you're tasting, feel free. Hit us up on social media, and we'd appreciate it, because I like this beer a lot,
mm-hmm.
and Eldon was right. This is changing how I view porters. Like I said, this is wildly different from other porters that I've had, but I'm having a tough time nailing the flavor down, which is probably part of the fun of it.
Yeah.
Is it's, well, let's try it again. Let's try it now. Is it going to be different?
Yeah.
So I know for sure you can find this at John's Marketplace in Multnomah Village. I'm sure you can find that at some other bottle shops elsewhere in the city, but it is Black Boss Porter by, if I can butcher the name again, Broar Witnica S.A.
I'll finish with this. I think what I like about, I think one thing that's really important to know when you're tasting beers and trying beers and experimenting on beers is to know that it's okay if you can't describe it. You know, if you can't figure out what's going on, because at the end of the day, there's only two kinds of beer, good beer and bad beer. If you like it, you like it. Sometimes you don't have to explain why you like it.
Right, but I feel like I do because we have a microphone in front of us and a podcast.
I know. That's why I'm not an expert. I just drink too much.
He's an expert. Don't worry about it. That's going to do it for us today on episode 16. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, subscribe, rate, review at all the various sources you can find us. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, radio.com, 1080thefan.com, and then let us know on social media. Again, that's at 1080, at 1080thefan on Twitter is where we post it, as well as my personal Twitter, at MikeLynch27. Patrick's at Instagram.com/PDD085, where he posts the podcast there with some pictures usually. So that's where you can find us on social media. And coming up next week, we're not 100% sure yet, but before next week, keep an eye out for a bonus episode.
Ooh. Holla.
You guys want a bonus episode? Episode 16 and a half?
Pick me.
Released also on Thursday?
Pick me.
But just slightly later in the day? Thank you. Okay, bonus episode.
Everybody said yes, let's do it.
Keep an ear out for that. That's coming up in a couple of hours after this is released as well. Next week, we'll see you then Thursday at 4. Thanks so much for listening.
Deuces.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.